Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your last bastion of free speech on the internet. I'm Sean, that's Connor. You know the deal. We seem to be missing somebody. I don't remember his name. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Ryan F. Bomb James, I think.
Oh, is that who it was? I totally...
It's been so long since he was here.
It's been so long. It's like... I think he's an expatriate now. I think he moved to, like... He wants to drink, like, Irish whiskey, so I think he moved to Ireland. So we may not see him again. I don't know. We'll let you guys know if anything changes in that department. Before we dive into the podcast, which we are going to be talking about something that's very near and dear to our hearts because we live here in Florida and we are about to get hit with a hurricane.
Hurricane Dorian is barreling down on us. Patriots don't take a day off.
Freedom doesn't take a day off, so we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the things that deal with hurricanes as far as Trump and Canada and all kinds of stuff. So if you have any comments as far as hurricanes go, please comment below. Also, like and share the video, please. We would totally appreciate if you would do that, as well as subscribe to the channel. Also, hit the notification button. That way you get a little alarm every time a new Freedom Wire podcast goes up on the YouTube. And that way you don't have to search for us. Also, if you like the swag, go ahead and go to freedomwire.com. Go to the shop tab at the top of the page. Go ahead and peruse around in there. So, before we get into it, I've got this monster shot of Bower Hill. That's an accidental shot, but we're going to go ahead and take it.
Sean might die.
So, to all the Patriots that have come before, all the Patriots that are here, and all the Patriots that have yet to come.
Cheers.
Here's to you. Wow. That was a big shot. Ooh.
11 a.m. shots. Wonderful.
Excuse me just a second while I need to give this a little water chaser.
Got to cough a little bit there.
Cough? No. Woo! All right.
Let's get into it.
All right, look. We got a hurricane coming. We got to cut the stress some way.
We couldn't find water anywhere, so we had to go straight to the
whiskey. Yeah, the water is in short supply in every store in South Florida. So, you know, but we do have the faucet. So thank you, faucet, for giving us this water. How long have you lived in Florida?
I have lived in Florida my entire life.
Entire life. That's right. You've never seen snow.
Never seen snow. Never lived anywhere longer than 2-3 weeks on a vacation. So I have basically ridden out every hurricane that has ever hit us since 1997.
I hate you. I hate you. I have lived in Florida since 1979. I have been here for all but one of them, which was 2 years ago. Which I think was...
Matthew. Or Irma was...
It's either Matthew or Irma. It's about the same time, around August 2 years ago. I decided to go up to my mother's house in North Carolina, which the storm chased me there, and we experienced 60-mile-an-hour winds in the mountains of North Carolina, which was interesting. So I can say I've been through all the hurricanes, regardless of whether I've been in the state or not.
Maybe the common denominator is you.
It might be.
Following you around.
It might very well be. One of the things that has been making the rounds as far as hurricanes go is something that I think is hilarious, maybe a bit spectacular, definitely cool, was the idea that's been floating around out there on the Twitterverse that Trump suggested we should nuke the hurricanes.
Sounds like a great idea to me, because honestly, what else are we going to do to stop them?
Well, but let's talk about the science behind it. You know, not that I'm a scientist, not that I'm Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Bill Nye's not even a science guy.
That's true. You know who's more qualified to be a science guy than Bill Nye?
I heard Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren.
Is more qualified, has more degrees.
Dolph Lundgren has more degrees than Bill Nye.
So, more you know.
So, anytime you see, what's weird is he played a Russian, but he's not Russian, he's Swedish. So don't, you know, we can be cool with him. But yeah, nuking the hurricane, the science of it, the heat that it would, like, I'm wondering if it would really disrupt the flow, like that centrifugal flow. Would it be the heat or the concussion that would knock it out of its?
I don't know. I'm no science guy either, but from what I've read, you know, when it was first implied that Trump said this, the explosion would disrupt the air currents and kind of cause the storm to break up or change track a little bit. But people freaked out as soon as they heard him dropping nukes anywhere.
Right, right. And the thing is, it makes sense because when you think of the concussive force of a nuclear weapon, it makes sense how it would, the concussive explosion would just push the air currents and disrupt the centrifugal motion of the hurricane. Also, the heat would definitely have an effect on frying some of those water droplets that are in the clouds, which is, that's all clouds are water droplets. So, you know, I could see where this would work.
Or alternatively, what we get is a nuclear explosion that just gives us an irradiated hurricane that's now about to hit us. But
yeah, but what's
one way or the other, it would be spectacular to see. Who here is going to say they don't want to see a nuke go off in the middle of a hurricane? That sounds awesome.
No, it sounds incredible. But it makes me wonder if there's other options we could do. Like, I'm wondering if there's... I'm wondering if we could... Like, we don't need a nuke, but I wonder if we could... Like, a Moab might be able to do something similar.
Yeah, I don't know. People hear the nuke suggestion and immediately... It's a joke because... Obviously, we're not going to drop our nuclear warheads on hurricanes because that just sounds a little bit far-fetched, but we can probably look into doing something.
Something of that nature.
Something. I don't know. A nuke is right up there with have a giant fan pointed in the opposite direction to just blow it away, but...
I used to walk out and try to blow. Like in my head, I used to be like, well, butterfly effect. Maybe my little bit of a blow... We'll do something. Like, can you imagine if every Floridian...
Y'all just stood on the coast.
Just stood on the coast and everybody just exhaled. As long as we could. You know, would it have an effect? Probably not.
But I don't think anyone's tried it, so who's
to say? That's, you know, if we're going to go out of the box, let's talk about that. But honestly, if people are having a problem with the nukes, let's try a couple of Moabs. Check out a couple of Moabs at that sucker and detonate them. Let's see what happens.
I don't know. You know, people freaked out as soon as, you know, there was the leaked report that Trump wants to nuke hurricanes. Because it sounds ridiculous and people are quick to, you know, try to make a big deal out of what was clearly, if it was said, most likely a joke.
Right.
But, I don't know, it's an interesting possibility. We could try it.
And I've seen, articles over the last couple days that say... Well, it could work. It could work. But of course, we are running the risk of putting an irradiated hurricane that does not do a thing to it.
One way or another, it's going to be very interesting because either we find out A, that nuking a hurricane works and then we do it all the time, or we create an irradiated hurricane that just destroys the state of Florida. So, one way or another, things are much more interesting.
Yeah, than just a couple of iodine drops. What are you going to do?
It's not like Florida could get any weirder.
Yeah. I jokingly said, who doesn't want a third arm growing out of their forehead?
Exactly.
You know.
It would be useful. Hard to wear hats, but...
Hard to wear hats, but you could type really fast.
For sure.
Yeah, you could totally... Imagine if you had that third arm, you could drive and text two-handed.
So, in other words, just nuke hurricanes.
Nuke hurricanes. It sounds like a good idea.
Either there's no more hurricanes or life gets easier.
Hurricanes have become kind of... It's funny. Again, dude, we're living in that age where everything becomes politicized. It started getting politicized, obviously, with Trump and with Puerto Rico when it got demolished. a couple years ago by a Category 5, and how, you know, and the left rails against how his handling of the recovery of Puerto Rico, which we gave money, you know, we gave
FEMA aid
in the, is it billions we've done? I want to say 90 billion. Or 900,
sounds about right.
Or 900 million. It's something. There's a nine in there somewhere. Of course, the left always tries to, you know, belittle his basketball shots with the
paper towels.
But we've talked about it. I don't know. Was it on the podcast we talked about it, or it was off the podcast?
I believe it was off the podcast.
Where we talked about he knows how to play to a crowd. And that's what, like, if you look at that situation, these people just gotten wrecked by a hurricane. And now, you know, you have the president there and they're handing out things. When he started shooting them out like basketballs, it was like a concert. It turned from, you know, a somber, let me get my, you know, diapers and water to, hey, this is kind of fun. The president is throwing out
paper towels
and we're reaching for. And the thing is like, what if you remember, people weren't frowning or looking sad when that was happening. Like, everybody was kind of smiling and having a good time. Why is that something to look, you know, why is that something they want to make fun of?
I don't know. It's an unusual thing. It's not something we've seen from presidents in the past. So to see something that's unusual like that, even if it's not a bad thing, it's definitely going to maybe rub a few people the wrong way, but it shouldn't necessarily. Because he seems to have been at least trying to help Puerto Rico, both in going there to personally hand things out and also in the aid that was sent their way after the storm.
And what's funny is he goes, we've given them money. They mismanaged it. And then, of course, it comes out just recently over the last couple months with the governor and a few of other people that are, you know, high up in the Puerto Rico government. It was totally corrupt. They were funneling that money to friends. Nepotism on a different level. Not paying, you know, paying the most for the least. It's, you know, they were getting kickbacks, all kinds of things. And Trump was right. They did mismanage the funds that we gave them.
Yeah.
And he never received an apology from anybody on the left for calling it like it is. In fact, what the left did is they tried to, well, the guy that did all the corruption was a Trump guy.
Yeah, they'll tie it back to him any way they can. But the truth is, he was doing his best to help in, you know, whatever way he could find, and it was mishandled on their end.
Yeah.
Whether the guy was appointed by Trump or not, that's not Trump's fault that funds were mishandled.
But he wasn't appointed, he was voted.
Yeah, exactly.
He was voted in, so it's like, how is this his fault?
They'll find a way.
Yeah, it's amazing. Even though he said that the government is totally corrupt and did what he, and then when it comes out that yes, they are corrupt, nobody says, you know what, Trump, you were right. No, they go, oh, he's a right wing guy. He wasn't the government. Just, you know, I understand that they're gonna talk bad about Trump. But every once in a while I would love for them to call balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
When he does something good, say he does something good. If he does something bad, you're gonna definitely focus on that more as much as you can. But the bottom line is when he does do something good, that should be talked about.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about it.
Presidents doing bad things make headlines. Presidents doing good things rarely do, because that's kind of what we expect of them. But you got to at least be able to step back and say, hey, he is doing good things.
Yeah, and they can't.
Only focusing on the bad is a totally biased way to present just about anything.
And then just right before we came on the podcast, somebody politicized the hurricane, and they politicized it against Trump. The former
prime minister of...
Well, not even that. There's a different one that shows hurricane going at white people and as opposed to hurricane is going at brown people, and they pull out two of Trump's tweets. And the first one was about Puerto Rico and like 92 billion. That's how much it was. 92 billion sent. 92 billion in aid. How much money do we have to give? This is going to be a disaster. And then now that it's coming to Florida, he's like warning people. By the way, for those people that don't know, Florida, especially South Florida,
gets a lot of the hurricanes.
Well, no, that's not what I'm going to say. It's not that white.
Yeah, that too.
I have news for you. You know, South Florida is, I would venture to say that it's vastly more Latino than white at all. I mean,
in certain areas, definitely.
Especially like Miami-Dade County, you know, Miami-Dade, even Broward.
It's definitely a melting pot down here. There's a lot of different cultures and national origins that all come together and live here. So
right.
To say that Trump is only trying to warn white people when it's about to hit Florida, it clearly shows they don't understand what kinds of people live in South Florida. It's everybody down here. There's people from other parts of America, everywhere in the world.
By the way, I lived in Puerto Rico. I lived in Puerto Rico for 8 months at one point during my pro wrestling career. And there are white people in Puerto Rico. Yeah. So, you know,
and Puerto Rico is part of America.
Not right. Exactly. And this again, and this is the argument that I have with so many leftists. So you think everybody in Puerto Rico is brown? So who's the racist? Who's the racist? Who's the person that does not know what Puerto Rico is made up of? And it just assumes that everybody in that country is brown.
Yeah, they all got to be one color, and they're also assuming they all got to have one specific opinion on things. There can't be, you know, a person who's a certain color who thinks differently from someone else of that same color.
Yeah.
Everybody has to exist as part of their group. No one's an individual anymore. If you're a white person, you must think A, B, and C. If you're a non-white person, you must think this. And if you think anything differently, it's because you've been brainwashed or you're corrupted. Nobody can have their own individual thoughts anymore.
Yeah, and you know, we have this white privilege thing that I wish I could experience more of if there's a such thing. I come from a very poor background. My mom was a single mom, and we, you know, for years of my life, I ate hot dogs and canned potatoes. That was my dinner. I had mayonnaise sandwiches for lunch because we couldn't afford meat in them. So it's like white privilege. No, everything that I've gotten in this life has not been due to my skin color. It's been due to my drive to not allow myself to eat mayonnaise sandwiches for the rest of my life. And I've had ups and downs. You know, after my mom got married, we had a two-income household. Things changed. And then when I left home, my wife and I first got together, we were poor. I was working part-time. And we paid for an apartment. We did all that stuff, but we didn't have a lot of money for sure. We ate a lot of ramen noodles. And what we would do is we would buy the cheapest, biggest pack of chicken we could find. And we would cook it and we would eat it for days on end. And instant mashed potatoes. So, but what it was is we understood that this was a segment of time. And that with hard work, we could work our way out of it. And we did.
And that's an individual story that people would necessarily want to hear if they're in certain political circles. Because they would say, well, you're a white guy, so you were receiving such and such a benefit just by nature of being white.
And a guy.
They don't want to hear the story of how you got to where you are. They just want to look at where you are now.
Right.
It's something I've mentioned before on the podcast. I think how they try to define everything through the scope of the present. There is only the present moment, and that is the context through which everything else exists. So they judge your life where it is now based on what they're thinking. They aren't looking at your entire history and everything that led up to where you are now.
And if it doesn't fit their narrative, they try to change that history.
Exactly.
It's amazing, and it's something that I know this is a little bit of a tangent off of the hurricane thing, but it's like it's part of it. It's all tied to it. To say that everybody in Puerto Rico is brown and to say that everybody in Florida is white is racist in my eyes. It's a racist comment. That it's not only is it racist, it's an untruth. Yeah. And that to me, that encapsulates the left in a nutshell, because that's what they do. They peddle untruths and they hide bigotry under virtue signaling.
Yeah. And I get it. Trump is a big part of everyday life, more so than other presidents might have been in the past. But to try to take every single thing that happens and somehow find a way to loop it back to here's an opportunity to criticize Trump, it's just a little ridiculous.
But here's the thing. You say that he's a part of everyday life. He's not. They make him.
Exactly.
That's they what make
he's,
him a
he's
part of
He's become a part of everyday life, whether we like it or not, in the sense that people talk about him more frequently than presidents in decades past. But with the hurricane coming, there's more important things to prepare for. Like, people are trying to get gas and generators and water and food and boarding up their houses and trying to make sure their families are safe. And to take time away from helping people prepare for that just to talk about, oh, we're going to use this as an opportunity to criticize Trump. Here's what he's saying that makes him a racist. It's showing that they value narrative over individual people's safety.
Right, right. You're exactly right. And a lot of these people that are saying these things have never dealt with a hurricane or know I was talking with one of my friends yesterday, and you do not realize how close you are to anarchy. Like, how close our society is to all-out anarchy. Mm-hmm. We, you know, a couple of years, maybe 10 years, was it 10 years ago when we had those hurricanes? I think it was Wilma and...
Wilma was the big one that took out power for...
Was it Wilma and Irma? I don't remember.
No, Irma was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, so it was Wilma and... Was it started with a J, maybe? I don't remember. But... You know, it was no power for 14 days. What we had to do as a neighborhood, in the neighborhood I lived at, we walked in shifts because people were trying to loot houses. So what we would do is we took shifts patrolling the neighborhood, and we kept our neighborhood safe. But that's because we came together as a neighborhood. Because everybody knew each other in my little neighborhood that I lived in, and the fact is, we could have not, and it could have just been all out anarchy and like protecting your like the stuff you see in like zombie movies. It's really not. We're a bad day off from that happening.
Yeah, if we lose power for long enough, people will start to get desperate, and then it's. Like what you saw in Louisiana after Katrina, when people were just trapped down there for weeks on end, looting started relatively quickly. And it became a thing of people are trying to get food, but then you also saw people taking a TV. Like, there's no electricity. They don't need a TV, but they're going to take it because that's how human nature
opportunity.
Works. The opportunity presents itself to get something that you
and
want.
But it got worse from there. It was not just stealing. There was rapes, murders, all kinds
exactly.
of things. It just society just, you know, degrades so fast without a position of power, somebody in order to. So it's like people make fun of it, but like if you've never been through a natural disaster, then you shouldn't make too light of it. And I get it. You should. Everything's got a degree of comedy to it, because if you don't laugh, you'll probably cry.
Floridians especially, we have a weird sense of humor about hurricanes because they happen so often, and people like me grow up with hurricanes. Like, I was maybe 8, 9 years old when Wilma hit us and we were without power.
Oh, my God, I hate you.
I'm very young. No, and all I remember was, hey, there was 3 weeks of school not being in session. And sure, it was dark and the house was hot, but we could go outside and play with all the neighborhood kids for the entire day. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And that's just how we grow up. Like, oh, hurricanes are a part of life. So we see a different side of it and kind of grow up able to laugh at them, even when they're pretty rough.
But, like, what isn't acceptable in my eyes is former Prime Minister of Canada. What is her name?
I don't even remember, but this was just obnoxious what she said.
Let me pull this up. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
So while you're looking that up, I can mention what I saw about that. How she recently said that she is hoping that Hurricane Dorian hits Florida and just decimates Trump's house. Not the area around it, just his house specifically. She hopes it gets trashed by the storm.
So her name is Kim Campbell. And she tweeted, I'm rooting for a direct hit on Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. A direct hit. Now, does she not understand the nature of a hurricane?
Apparently not.
Does she not understand that these things are
massive,
hundreds of miles in diameter, will engulf the state? So if a direct hit does hit Mar-a-Lago,
it will take out everything. For miles
around it.
Yeah.
For miles.
But that's the point, because Trump's is such a dominating force in people like that's mindset that they don't even see the people around it. They see something that they could celebrate. Oh, Mar-a-Lago was destroyed. That's a hit against Trump. Well, forget all the people in the neighborhood who have now lost their houses because the storm also took them out. Forget the people who now don't have a place to go to work at Mar-a-Lago the next day because their place of business is underwater and the building fell over. They only see, oh, here's an opportunity for us to say something negative about Trump. It doesn't matter who else gets caught up in that.
Yeah, and that's callous. It's a callous remark from somebody that doesn't know. Can you imagine if Obama said, like, if Obama didn't like Trudeau and there was say an earthquake and
a blizzard took out Trudeau's house.
Yeah, I would, you know, and here's the thing, Obama would never say that, but Trump would. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if Trump, as a former president, said that about Canada's current president? Could you imagine the firestorm that would happen because he said that?
Now, clearly she probably meant it more in a tongue-in-cheek way, but it was mean-spirited, to say the least. And to try to play it off as just an offhanded comment, she didn't know what she was saying, it's just not a big deal, kind of goes in the face of taking everything that Trump says as a joke dead seriously. Because if you're going to have a standard for one, you kind of have to apply that standard to the other. If you're going to take every joke that comes out of Trump's mouth as something dead serious and say,
And let's be honest, I would say at least 80%, 80 to 85% of what he says is more of he's quick.
Yeah.
And like he just says something that's off the top of his head. It's a joke. It's either a joke or
he doesn't mean it seriously, but it's taken seriously.
Right.
And obviously, her saying she hopes Mar-a-Lago gets destroyed by the hurricane, no one can blame her if it does, because it's not like Canadians are controlling the weather or anything. But it's just in poor taste. And I don't want to, you know, spend weeks going over how horrible of a comment this was. But it was not a joke in good taste.
No, not at all. And that's exactly it. It's if you're going to hold Trump to this standard, then you need to hold every other world leader to that same standard. It's this double standard BS that honestly I think is going to be probably the main reason why Trump wins in 2020. I believe he'll get reelected simply because they're facade of attack, attack, attack is starting to be, get paper thin. And now Americans are starting to say, wait a second, this isn't right.
Yeah, it's not fair or equal, despite the fact that leftists are constantly talking about how they want to make everything fair and equal.
Right. And we talked earlier this week about Lawrence O'Donnell.
Speaking of perfect storms, yeah. Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell. You know, he talked about the Trump-related tax returns and how there were loans co-signed
Russian oligarchs.
From Russian oligarchs.
Whatever that means.
And we talked about it earlier about how that means nothing. He was an international businessman, and when you have partnerships in different countries, you're going to have to do business with other businessmen of that country. So it would make sense that he had partnerships with these people, these kinds of people. That does not show any kind of allegiance to these people. It just shows they had a business partnership, plain and simple. But it was a bullshit lie.
Yeah, less than 24 hours later, after he released that through social media into an uproar, he had to issue a retraction both on Twitter and on the air. But even his retraction was kind of bull when you get right down to it, because he didn't apologize for what he was saying or say, hey, I'm sorry for attempting to spread an outright lie that I hadn't verified at all. It was saying, oh, it wasn't ready for publication. We didn't do the proper research, but just sit tight. We'll do research and get back to you once we find out more about this thing we're trying to push.
Right. No, you're trying to revive the Russian hoax, and that's it, because that's all you guys have. That's all it is.
And his big thing, and a big thing that a lot of the media does now, is it's big if true. If true, this means X, Y, and Z. Well, you can say if true about just about anything.
Yeah, if pigs had wings.
Yeah, I can.
They could fly.
Yeah.
If true, if pigs.
We can write articles about, oh, we found Bigfoot in the woods. And if it's true that someone found Bigfoot, here's what this means. And then we can speculate wildly, because there's nothing to tie it to. It's real easy to write a story when you aren't burdened by things like facts and evidence.
True. That's exactly it. But that's not the only thing they were reaching with on Trump. Like, the past couple days, they said he's ending birthright citizenship to babies born to soldiers outside of the United States.
That's what happens when people just read headlines and don't actually read what the heck they're saying afterwards.
And don't even, and look, here's the thing. If you want to understand these things, don't read an article. Read the actual source. Read the source. 9 times out of 10, when you see one of these articles, they will have the source linked. Click on that link.
Even crazy biased news outlets tend to link their sources, because that's just standard practice. Read what they're quoting from, not just the quote in the article.
Yeah, because if you miss that context, then there is context to everything that's said. You know, we could be talking about how I quoted somebody that said, oh, only white people should have this or that job. And that quote can be taken and put as a headline. Sean Robertson says, only white people should have this or that job. You know what I'm saying? That's how easy, if you do not know the context and you just go with the soundbite, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Seems like a lot of the follow-up articles written on these things, like one source will publish something, and then a bunch of other news outlets will publish things based on that. And they'll use the same quotes in the same context.
It's the telephone game.
Yeah, because they're just copying from the one article and writing about it. They're not looking at the actual source itself, so they don't know what it says, and that's why there's fake news and incorrect stories that go around everywhere.
It's the telephone game, because you're taking this piece of information and you're passing it down the line. And by the end of it, it may have started as, you know, Trump plays round of golf in Japan and end up with Trump talks about nuking China from Japanese delegate's house or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it's real easy to spin things when you're just taking the little out of context quotes that fit the story you're trying to write.
So you have to check these sources. Lawrence O'Donnell found that out the hard way. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I actually read the document that they were talking about from USCIS. And then I read the quote from the director saying, no, this isn't what this means. And he explained that it's about adopted children outside of, you know, from outside the U.S. That was it. That was it. That law's been in practice for decades, or, you know, they just revised it a little bit to encompass these adoptions that happen outside of the United States. That was it. And there was one other thing that they were reaching for, and I wrote it in that article. It was, but it was all, it's like, they are looking for something. And it's, now it's like, there used to be like, it used to be cardboard thin. You like, yeah. It used to be cardboard thin.
No, it's wax paper thin.
It's thinner than that. It's almost like, it's almost like saran wrap thin, where you could see right through it. Mm-hmm. It's distorted a little bit, but not much. Yeah. You know, it's like...
It's becoming transparent, because...
Very transparent.
The Trump-Russia story was supposed to be the big thing. And then that fell apart relatively quickly. We knew pretty early on that it was like a big fat nothing burger. But then once the, you know, the Mueller report released and then his testimonies took place, we were all pretty much sure, yeah, this is over. There's no collusion, no obstruction of justice, nothing is going anywhere. Then they had to pivot real quickly to the Trump is a racist narrative, and that doesn't seem to be...
And it was a hard left turn.
It was a hard turn onto that, but it's not sticking as well. The New York Times won Pulitzer Prizes off of...
Lies.
Off of the Trump-Russia stories, the lies
they told. The lies that they told.
But...
We're going to call a spade a spade. They won Pulitzer Prizes...
Off of lies.
Off of lies.
Exactly. But the Trump is a racist narrative doesn't seem to be sticking quite as well. They're having a harder time getting anywhere with that because they have to keep coming up with new stories to try to prove it, whereas with Trump-Russia, they could talk about one thing and do a million different interpretations.
Right.
Now they always need a new story to feed into their new narrative, and... It seems like they're grasping at straws.
Well, it's hard to have a racist narrative on somebody when they're not racist.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it is. It's amazing, and it's like, but if you talk to a leftist,
they're convinced.
They are convinced, and when you ask them, they go, everything that comes. Like if you say, well, what has he said that is racist? They will tell you
everything
that comes out of his mouth. Okay, explain to me how this is racist.
Yeah.
Oh, their favorite the favorite thing is the Central Park Five. Central Park Five, for those that don't know, a group of five young, young black guys in the 80s were arrested and charged with the rape of a jogger.
Young white woman, I believe.
Yeah. And again, the color makes no difference. It wouldn't matter what the color is. Everybody likes to do that, but it's like, no, it shouldn't be about color. But it is. Mm-hmm. And these kids were arrested, and they confessed. Said that they did it. And then all of these different parts of the case came out where they said that they... You know, prove their innocence.
They were basically coerced
confessing by the police. But before that all happened, Trump took out a full page ad in the New York Times talking about crime and how, you know, we should go hard at these kids because at that point they had confessed mm-hmm. to this crime and. You know, and they were trying to, and New York was just coming out of one of the most violent and crime-ridden eras. The 70s for New York was terrible. So it's like, you know, and they wanted to clean up New York City. So he did this whole thing on crime. But now they point to it as racist. Well, it's because they were black. No. Color has no bearing in this situation. It has to do with these kids said they did this crime.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's present context to judge the past. They aren't looking at things that took place around it. Like, if Trump was writing this whole thing because he was upset with black people specifically, yeah, that's not a good look. But that doesn't seem to be what was going on. That's not
right.
That's not the context of why it was written. That's not the context in which things
took
place.
He didn't write it because they were black. He wrote it because they confessed to the crime.
But it's present narrative applied back in time to judge something that he's doing now.
Yeah. And what I truly believe and what I think, and your proof to your point that this racist narrative isn't sticking, is that Americans are starting to see through it, not just the conservatives. Conservatives have always seen through the bullshit. And that's the second time I've had to say bullshit. There's three.
We gotta get the bleep in here.
No, we're not bleeping that. This is America. Conservatives have always been able to see through it. We knew what it was when they were saying it, but now it's getting so thin. The rest of America, even some liberals, some of those centrist Democrats, are seeing this, and they're like, "Okay, now I'm starting to see this pattern." And they're even saying, "What?" They're starting to question things themselves.
They're not necessarily becoming Trump supporters, but they are starting to question the leftist thing.
The leftist and the press.
Conservatives have always, in recent decades, had to deal with being called racist on pretty much every issue because that's been a big talking point. But now it's so overused that the danger is that it's starting to lose any sort of strength. Like, to call someone a racist now almost means nothing.
Well, what's funny is I've gone 46, 45 years never being called a racist. Never being called a racist. As soon as I get into a Facebook conversation or debate about Trump, I have become a racist, a bigot, somebody that is okay with racism or hate or whatever. And you know what? Honestly, when it comes down to it, there are some things I'm okay with hate. I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes hate is warranted. All right, I'm there. Who do I hate? I hate racists. Yeah. I hate Nazis.
And again, that is a group made up of people making individual choice. You're not saying you hate white people. You hate Nazis. You don't hate Germans.
Right.
You're choosing to have a negative opinion of the individuals who have made a choice to be a
subsection of a larger
exactly.
group.
You can dislike their individual philosophy without hating everyone who even remotely looks or resembles them in any way.
Yeah. No, I just, it's starting to, I don't know, man. I like the question is, do you see our country healing? I don't know, man. This is a wide divide between the right and the left. You can't even have a conversation. No one's going to change your mind. Yeah. No, because like you said the other day, we have different definitions of words.
And we've put so much power into the far left, and now the far right is also growing, that it's pulling people away from the middle, where the middle is where you have the conversation.
Yep.
The far extremes are where you have Antifa and other and far right groups exchanging blows in the streets, and that's how people end up hospitalized or dead. No one has a debate in that context. You have the debate when there's a moderate leftist and a moderate person on the right come together and have a conversation. And we have a ever shrinking number of those nowadays.
What's funny is like the warrior in me wants to go to Portland so bad. I want to get me one of them black and yellow Fred Perry shirts and walk down the street and strut. The warrior in me wants to do that. But the rational thinking man in me goes, what's the point? It's just violence. Yeah. It's violence without a purpose. Mm-hmm. It's tribal gang warfare is all that really is. It's no longer the it's no like the Crips and the Bloods. No, it's not about the Crips and the Bloods anymore. It's about the right and the left. And I'm not partaking in the violence unless I'm attacked, obviously.
Obviously, that's a different thing.
But I'm not going out of my way to insert myself into one of these confrontations. I wouldn't shy away from it, but I'm not going to go out of my way looking for it.
And America exists because of that balance in the middle. It's people with different opinions being able to come together and have a conversation, and then what is produced out of the end of that is something that advances both groups, and it makes the country better, makes the country stronger. To be so entrenched in our own ideological camps that we can't have a conversation anymore, that's not how America survives, because America doesn't exist on the far left or the far right. It's always been about the middle, and we are losing the middle at an alarming rate.
Yeah, I agree. I that's exactly what I see. It's like almost like Harry Potter, and people are apparating out of, like, they're just disappearing and going even further in one direction. It's really weird. It's like watching iron filings on a table with
we've made the extremes so powerful that the magnets are now pulling all the iron shavings one way or the other.
Yep.
And you can't stay in the middle.
And that's where we get the term polarizing.
Exactly.
Well, let's call it a day there. I mean, we do got to get ready for a hurricane. I know you got to put shutters up. I do have to shutter one house.
Got to find a gas station somewhere.
Good luck. Go at night. Best time to go is middle of the night. That's what I would do. Like, set your alarm for like 2 a.m. and then go find one. You'll find one.
Yeah.
No problem.
But we'll survive, and then we'll be back.
Yep. If you don't hear from us for a few days, or if this doesn't come out until a couple weeks from now, you'll understand why. We'll more than likely be without power for a few days, if not a few weeks. So please bear with us while we get back in order and get back to our working, our working schedule. That being said, I think I don't have anything else. You got anything else to add?
No.
All right.
Anybody in Florida, stay safe out there.
Stay safe. And please, people outside of Florida, send good vibes and prayers our way. Scientifically, they have been shown to help people. So until then, see you next time.